All right, I have a heart-thrilling task this morning to talk about God's mercy to sinners. Our title, the message, the lesson this morning is Blessed Are the Merciful from Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, our Savior definitely is not teaching us here that we have to be merciful to others in order for the Lord to be merciful to us. We know better than that. God's blessings never come to us because of what we've done. It's always in spite of what we've done. God's blessings never come to us because of what we are, who we are. It's always in spite of who and what we are. Sinners are saved because God is merciful. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 8 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look over at Titus chapter 3. He tells the same thing here, talking to Titus about God's mercy. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's our description by nature. For people, if that's our nature, those kind of people can't be blessed because of who they are, what they've done, can they? But, Paul says, verse 4, "After that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Salvation is according to God's mercy. Now, it would be bad news if the Lord was telling us here in our text that we have to be merciful to others before the Lord would be merciful to us. That would be bad news. That would mean God's never going to be merciful to us, because we would, left to our own devices, left to our own nature, would never be merciful to other people. But this is good news. If the Lord is teaching us that His people are merciful, He's made them merciful as a result of God's mercy to them. Now that's good news, because that means God does not have to find a reason in us in order to be merciful to us. God finds a reason in Himself to be merciful to us. Mercy is found in the character of God. And if you look back at Exodus chapter 34, mercy is the character of God. It's His very character, His very nature. Exodus 34, verse 5. "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now, when He proclaims the name of the Lord, He's proclaiming His character. He's proclaiming the character and nature of God. "And the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, Jehovah, the Lord God, merciful and gracious.'" That's His character, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation." Mercy is God's character. That's why sinners are saved. It's because God is merciful. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, verse 22, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." It's the only reason we're not consumed. It's because of God's mercy, because His compassions, His mercy, His tender mercy, His love fails not. So this is what the Lord's teaching in our text. If we are a merciful person, the reason for that is because God's already been merciful to us. He's already given us a new nature, a nature that is like God's merciful nature. Now it's important for us to understand how and why God can be merciful to sinners. Before we can talk about us being merciful, we've got to talk about how and why God can be merciful to sinners. God is holy. God must remain holy in everything that he does. So when God shows mercy to sinners, it's got to be in a way that does not violate his holiness. Well, the word mercy, I spent time this week looking up every time the word mercy or merciful is used in Scripture. And it's surprising how many times, what ought not be surprising, but it stood out to me, how many times the word mercy is tied to the mercy seat. The mercy seat, remember, was the lid, the golden lid made of pure gold with the two cherubims on either end of it. That was a lid over top of the Ark of the Covenant. And on the day of atonement, the high priest would go in, he'd sprinkle blood on top of that mercy seat. Now that's a lesson to us, showing us the only way God's going to accept that high priest, and the only way he's going to accept the people, Israel, for whom he's offering the sacrifice, is through the blood on the mercy seat. And that teaches us something in a picture. God's mercy can only come to sinners through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way God can show mercy. Now think about that. In order for God to show mercy to the likes of you and me, God had to kill his son in the most horrible way possible. That's what it took for God to show mercy to sinners. In order to show mercy to sinners, Christ had to suffer and die as a substitute for his people to put their sin away. Solomon said this. He said, by mercy and truth is iniquity purged. Iniquity is not purged by mercy only. Iniquity is purged by mercy and truth. God can only show mercy to sinners by truly punishing their sin, and he did it in the person of his son, our substitute. Now, God can be merciful to sinners because Christ has died for them. Now, God can be merciful to sinners and not give them what they deserve. That's what mercy is, not giving a guilty person what they deserve. God can be merciful to sinners because he gave our substitute everything we deserve. He punished our substitute fully. That's how God can show mercy to sinners. Now, if that doesn't motivate you to be merciful to others, nothing will. That's our lesson. That is our lesson in a nutshell. And I want to give you some descriptions of God's mercy from God's Word. This is the kind of mercy we need if we would be saved. Now first, look at Genesis chapter 19. This is the first time the word mercy is used in Scripture. And it shows us this, that God's mercy is delivering mercy. Genesis 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, I have to make a comment about that. Do you know why Lot's sons-in-law thought he was mocking, why he was joking? Because up to this point, Lot had not lived a life of faith in Sodom. He lived a life where he just fit in with the crowd. They thought he was mocking, talking about religion, talking about the Lord. And they thought he was mocking, and they perished because they thought Lot was mocking. They thought he was joking because of the way that he conducted himself up to that point. Now let that sink in. That's sobering, isn't it? Now verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. Now, why on earth would Lot linger? The Lord told him he's going to destroy the city, and seems like Lot believed he was going to do it. Yet, he lingered. Why did he linger? For the same reason, every last one of us would linger. It's the love of the flesh, the love of the comforts of the flesh, the love of this world that's in us. Now, did Lot's evil nature and his weak faith, did that make God cast off one of his elect and say, I warned you, and you lingered, so now I'm going to let you perish? No. Because of God's delivering mercy, he took hold of Lot's hand and set him outside of the city. He delivered him from the city. That's the kind of mercy that I need. Look at Psalm 86. I need God to take me by the hand and deliver me from destruction, from my sin and my rebellion and my unbelief. And thank God, his mercy is delivering mercy. Psalm 86, verse 13. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. He's delivered my soul from the lowest hell because his great mercy is delivering mercy. All right, second, God's mercy is turning mercy. Now, all of us are lost in Adam. We've turned away from God in Adam. We've been thrust out of God's presence in Adam. And we've been going the wrong way ever since. Well, what can turn us back to God? Just one thing. God's mercy. You're still there in Psalm 86. Look at verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. God, turn to me. If you turn to me, you'll turn me back to you. Now, if you're guilty, I'll tell you what will make you turn back to God. What will make you beg him for mercy is his free mercy. That God is merciful to sinners. That will make you turn to him. And God is always merciful to his people. His mercy never stops. He turns his people and he keeps them turned. He's turned to them in mercy and he's going to keep them turned to him. All right, now the rest of these, I'm going to turn to them very quickly. I won't be a smart aleck and say if you can keep up with the former sword drill champion, you can try to turn to him. But you might just want to jot these down, look at them later, because for time's sake, I'm going to go through these quickly. But God's mercy is saving mercy. Psalm 13, verse 5, David says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. If you trust in God's mercy, you're going to rejoice in his salvation. Because God's mercy is saving mercy. That's why David cried in Psalm 109, verse 26, help me, O Lord my God, save me according to thy mercy. Now, this is the sweet psalmist of Israel. David didn't ask the Lord to save me because I'm a man after your own heart. He didn't say, Lord, save me because I wrote all these psalms for your people. He didn't say, Lord, save me because I went out and fought many battles for Israel. David cried for mercy. He needed mercy that will save a guilty sinner. And God's mercy is saving mercy. It's the only reason any sinner is ever saved, is God's mercy is saving mercy. All right, fourthly, God's mercy is helping mercy. Psalm 30, verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. I don't know if you noticed that or not. This is what Gene prayed for as he was praying. Lord, help us. Help us to remember the things that we've heard. Lord, help us to concentrate on the message. When our minds wander, Lord, bring us back. Help us. Help us. We need help. Lord, help me. Give me faith to trust you. Lord, I need help. Give me grace for every trial. They're going to crush me unless you help me. Lord, give me strength to live as a child of God. Let me act like I know something. Let me act as live as a child of God, not like a son of Adam. Lord, help me. Aren't you glad to know that God is merciful to sinners? God's merciful to people that need help. God does not help those help themselves. No, sir. God helps those who cannot help themselves. That's what mercy is. Helping those that cannot help themselves. All right, fifthly, God's mercy is forgiving mercy. Psalm 51, verse 2, you know this story here when David's sin with Bathsheba was exposed. And this is the psalm he wrote after that. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David's only hope of forgiveness and cleansing was God's mercy. In his mercy, God forgives him. And like I said a little while ago, God had mercy on David in this sin, just like God has mercy on the sin of all of his people for one reason. That sin was already punished in David's substitute, in David's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be washed from our sin. There's only one thing that'll cleanse us from our sin. It's the blood of Christ. And God's mercy, we've read several times here about God's mercy being great. God's mercy is so great, he sacrificed his son so that his people would be washed white as snow. And he could forgive them from their sin. What mercy that is. All right, the sixth thing is this. God's mercy is keeping mercy. Psalm 94, verse 18. "When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." Now, what will keep a believer from slipping? What will keep a believer from falling away from God? Now, we will if we can, won't we? If I can leave God, I will. I will. I promise you that. Every one of us, if we can leave God, we will. Then what will keep me? Huh? What will keep me in Christ? What will keep me near His side? What will keep me trusting Him? One thing. Mercy. God's keeping mercy. God always holds his people safe in his powerful, merciful hand. We won't fall away. We will persevere to the end because God's merciful. All right, here's the seventh thing. God's mercy is great mercy. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." God's mercy is great mercy. Now we mentioned this a couple of times, so why take the time to make a specific point about this? Well, because I hope somebody here thinks, "I am a great sinner." Is anybody here a great sinner? I mean such a great sinner that you've got absolutely no hope of salvation. You can't see any hope of salvation. You can't see any reason that God Almighty would save you because you're such a great sinner. I just think my sin is too great. My rebellion is too great. There's no hope for me. Somebody here thinks that, I got good news for you. God's mercy is great. God is rich in mercy. There is no sinner anywhere who's such a great sinner that God's mercy cannot save him. We can be too righteous to be saved, but we can't be too great of a sinner to be saved, because God's great mercy is always greater than our sin. All right, here's the eighth thing. God's mercy is redeeming mercy. David says in Psalm 130, verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." With the Lord is plenteous redemption because the Lord's mercy is great. God's salvation is plenteous, greater than all of our sin. God's mercy will save a sinner, and God's mercy will keep that sinner saved, because God's mercy is great. His mercy is plenteous. Plenteous. You never exhaust it. You never exhaust God's mercy. You never find the bottom of God's mercy. His mercy is plenteous. So no matter where you are, no matter what it is you're going through, no matter what it is you're suffering, no matter what it is you fear, you just remember this, God's mercy is plenteous. It's more plenty than the trouble you're in. There's plenty of His mercy. There's more of it than your sin. There's more of it than your worry. There's more of it than your enemy. His mercy is plenteous. Then here's the ninth thing. God's mercy is comforting mercy. Isaiah said in Isaiah 49 verse 13, the Lord hath comforted His people, and the Lord will have mercy upon His afflicted. Now that's a promise. He hath comforted His people, and He will have mercy upon His afflicted. Now if you're afflicted of spirit, you're afflicted of body, you're afflicted of mind, where's your comfort? Now where's your comfort? I tell you, the only comfort a believer can find is this, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. This is so comforting. God has promised mercy to His afflicted people. He promised it. I don't want to get too personal, but about 2.5 weeks ago, I was in my study preparing for the Wednesday night service, and Janet came busting into the study and said, Savannah's been in a car wreck. It's bad. We gotta go. And we jumped in the car and drove to Lexington. And, you know, it's a 2-hour drive. I made it a little less time than that, but typically it's a 2-hour drive. And this was my thought driving there. God's promised mercy to His people. And I don't know what we're going to find when we get there. And I'm afraid I can't go through it. I was afraid of what we'd find. And this was what I hung on to. God has promised mercy to His people. He promised mercy to save them. Now you think what it took to save your sorry soul. Just try to imagine. We can't imagine the greatness of the mercy that it took to save our sinful souls. You reckon God's got mercy to comfort His afflicted? Save them. And this mercy, God's mercy, cannot fail, because God's mercy is sovereign mercy. Romans 9, verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. We're dependent upon God's mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now it seems to us like there's so much evil and so much pain, so much sin in this world. And you're right, it is. I mean, it seems to us that it's that way because it is. But don't get discouraged. God is ordering all things after the counsel of His own will. God is ordering all things to accomplish His will in the redemption of His elect people, and that purpose cannot fail. God chose Jacob, and He passed by Esau. God chose Israel, and He destroyed Egypt. God chose Moses, and He destroyed Pharaoh. All to teach us this one lesson, God's mercy is sovereign mercy. And that mercy cannot fail to save the objects of that mercy, because it's the mercy of the sovereign, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The 11th thing is this, God's mercy is healing mercy. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, Paul, writing back to the church at Philippi, he said, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was the pastor there at Philippi. He said, he's my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but he's your messenger. He's your pastor. And he'd come there to Paul to minister to Paul's wants. And Paul says he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you heard that he'd been sick. He'd gotten deathly sick there and didn't want the congregation to know, but they found out about it. And his heart, he was so worried about them, you know, worrying about his sickness. And Paul says, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now, you know, we ought never to be afraid to ask God to heal sick folks. We know this, God's able, don't we? And he heals people in his mercy. This Paul just said, God was merciful and he healed him. Now, it may be that the Lord is going to be merciful to one of his children by taking them out of this world. Could be. And if he does, that's a mercy. And it's a mercy for God to take one of his children out of this world of sin and this body of flesh and take them to be with him. That's a mercy. And it's a mercy when he heals the body too. And you know, we don't have to feel bad. Because what is our prayer when we first hear that a believer is sick? It's not our prayer, well, Lord, go ahead and take him. It's just not our prayer. Our prayer is, Lord, heal him. And we ought not feel bad about that and think, well, I ought to be more spiritual and pray that the Lord would, you know, heal him. I ought to think it's good news when I hear that God has taken a dear loved one of mine who's a believer. I ought to be glad when I hear that the Lord's taken him home. I ought to be more glad to hear that than hear that they got well and they got to live in this world some more. Don't feel bad about that. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord is merciful and healed Epaphroditus, lest I'd have sorrow upon sorrow. That was a mercy to me, Paul said. So we ought not feel bad about that. We ought not feel bad to ask that the Lord heal folks in his mercy, because God's mercy is healing mercy. Now the last thing I want a description of God's mercy is this. God's mercy is life-giving mercy. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the only reason any sinner has spiritual life is because God gave it to them in his mercy. Regenerating mercy is when God gives a new heart. He gives a new heart to his people, and that heart is merciful. It's because it's like the mind of Christ. It is merciful. Now, if God's been merciful to you, then these descriptions of God's mercy have touched your heart. They thrilled your soul and your natural desire. If God's been merciful to you, to hearing about God's mercy, these descriptions, they just naturally made you want to be merciful to others. And that's what the Lord's teaching us here. If a person is merciful, it's because the Lord's been merciful to them first. And us being merciful to each other is just a reaction to that. You know, a person who's dependent upon God's mercy is going to naturally show mercy to others when they're weak. And they'll naturally show mercy to others when others make a mistake. Because if God's been merciful to us, how can we not be merciful to others? How can we demand of others what God does not demand of us? And I can tell you from God's word who it is that will be merciful. It's people who've been born again. God's children are merciful people. Our Lord said in Luke 6, verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Just like father, like son. God's children are like him because they're born from his seed. God's children are merciful. God's elect are merciful people. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Put those on. Who's going to put those on? The elect of God. That's the people who are going to be merciful. And do you know God commands his people to be merciful? This is his commandment. His commandment's not grievous to us. In Micah 6, verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? He showed you this. This is what he requires, to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, God commands us to love mercy and to show mercy. Well, the new heart that God gives loves mercy and shows mercy. And I want to give you a couple of examples of showing mercy that will be an example to us and will be an encouragement to us to show mercy. How is it that I can show mercy to others? Well, number one is this. Mercy, a merciful person, gives to other people who are in need, whether it's spiritual. Why is it that you support this ministry? You care that people hear the gospel. That they're in spiritual need. When someone gets sick and someone is in great need, why is it that y'all are running, bringing food and offering to do whatever it is you can do? Why is that? You're merciful people. And this is what Scripture instructs us to do. John said this in 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion. He shuts off his mercy and doesn't give to him. Peter or John says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It doesn't. It doesn't. If God has shown you mercy, he's given freely to you, you're going to be merciful to others and give freely to them. And the scriptural illustration of that I thought of is Philemon, who Paul said often refreshed the bowels of the saints. He did it often. That's a merciful person. And I'll give you a modern day example. One of my dear, dear friends, a brother lives in another place, heard about another brother of ours who was in a hospital in sickness and in pain and worry, and he heard that this brother of his was suffering with anxiety there in the hospital. And you know what he did? He got in his car. He drove 3 hours one way to bring that brother a weighted blanket in the hospital. And you know what a weighted blanket is? They got these weights or balls or something, and this is what they say, that you put that weighted blanket on you and it just presses all into your body and makes you feel just better. He drove 3 hours one way to bring a blanket to a brother in need. That's merciful. That's merciful. And here's how we can be merciful to others. If you see a need, fill it. Don't wait to be asked, just fill it. That's being merciful. And second is this, and I turn to Matthew chapter 18. Mercy forgives others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And here is an illustration our Lord gave of what mercy is not. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. It's a fortune. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, just a fraction of what he owed. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, and went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. God help us not to be that way, but to be merciful. And to be forgiving, as our Father in heaven has forgiven us. Now, one last scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, This is going to sum up the whole lesson. If God shows mercy to us, we should be merciful to others. And God will not stop being merciful to us, His people. And this is a good illustration of what I'm talking about. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. Paul says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. I was not ashamed of my chain, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Now, this is what Paul's saying. Onesiphorus was merciful to Paul. He saw a need. He filled it. He went to Rome and searched through that great big city till he found Paul and ministered to his needs. He was merciful. Well, it's because God was already merciful to him, wasn't he? And God's mercy to him is not going to stop. That's what Paul's praying. God continue to be merciful to him. And in that day of judgment, he's going to realize all of God's mercy to him. Blessed are the merciful. All right. The Lord bless you.